Hi, you're tuned in to KZFR 90.1 FM, and you're listening now to North State Give and Take, where I do interviews with local nonprofits and people doing different things here in our community. These are pre-recorded interviews. My name is Bobby Tryon, and thanks for tuning in. Today on North State Give and Take, I'm going to interview two local women. Both of them, I feel, pretty amazing. One, I consider her sort of a community icon. And the other is the daughter of a community icon and maybe working on being an icon herself. We'll see. Anyway, Pam Figge and Bray Sisk. And we're going to talk today about a collection of David Sisk, who is Bray's dad. And he was an artist in this town and an icon that many of you know. There is going to be an art show, a collective of his work at Monca. So we're going to talk today a little bit about Monca and what Monca is and where it is. And Pam will talk to us about that because she is a volunteer there and a big supporter of Monca, as well as many other things in our community. And Bray, who will talk a little bit about her dad. And so welcome both of you, Pam and Bray.
Thank you, Bobby.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Okay, let's just for a brief little description here of Monca. You know, it's on the Esplanade. Give me a little something, Pam, about it and what goes on there.
It stands for the Museum of Northern California Art because we feature artists in art from Northern California, which is pretty unique. It's regional. And really, our region goes south to San Jose all the way to the Oregon border. We incorporated as a nonprofit, 501c3, back in 2011, and we didn't have a building. So we had pop-up shows all over downtown Chico until we were able to get a lease with the County of Butte for that beautiful, beautiful Veterans Memorial building on the Esplanade. And we did a major renovation on it, and we were able to open the doors in 2017, and we've had ongoing shows. Totally run by 100% volunteers like myself. And the whole idea is to make art accessible to people, to educate people, to allow them to have creativity and see creativity. And it's been, I think, a real successful addition to our art community here in Chico.
It's right across the street from Chico High. Is there, what's the cross street there? So people, if they don't know exactly where it is, do you know?
I believe it's either Washington or Lincoln.
Okay, so it's across.
It's just south from East First Avenue.
Okay, and what does MONCA stand for?
The Museum of Northern California Art.
Okay, got it. I see it, of course, when I go by, and recently, since I've now been getting in there, I realize what a treasure it is for our community.
Thank you.
What's happening, and what Pam and Bray are working on together, is a show of David Sisk's work. So Bray, tell me a little bit about your father. I know that, and I remember this clearly because he was a good friend of mine, and he died the first day of spring last year.
Yes, he did. It was a beautiful day. And just because so many people knew him in this community as Sisko, I want to remind people that when we speak of David Sisk, he also had this public persona that was Sisko, that was his art persona. And many people knew him as Sisko. So he left us pretty abruptly last year. And so as a community that he touched so broadly with his art, because he was so into public art, and many people were impacted by his sudden loss, for having seen his art around and been touched by his work. So it's been really sweet to see how far and wide he reached with his impact on this community.
Absolutely. And people may have recognized, if not other things, his billboards that he had. So every now and then you would see a strange billboard, because I'm sure people went, what is that? But always with an amazing message. And he had, the place that he had it mostly was right there on, where Park turns into Maine.
Yeah, he really liked the spot just south of Chico Natural Foods. Yeah. As you go down Park Avenue, Park Avenue begins right there. It was a good spot for a lot of people coming in and off of Highway 32 and also through the north-south arteries of town. I think he wanted to be able to share his art in a way that was accessible to everyone, anyone, people he didn't know, people who might be living very different lives or have different perspectives than him. And also because we're so used to seeing advertising. And as a billboard painter for many years, he recognized the sort of power of the soundbite of the billboard, like in that way that it was so quick, you would see something and it sort of made an impression on your psyche, on your being. And he wanted people to not just be advertised to, but to yes. share something mm-hmm. provocative, something that would make people mm-hmm. think.
Mm-hmm. He also was involved with the drive-by gallery, which was sort of the same thing, drive-by art.
Yeah, there was an open gallery front to the studio spaces there over on 7th Street, just across from where Tin Roof is now. And for about 20 years, he and a variety of people over the years collectively rented that studio space. And then in the front, there was a gallery which had big windows so you could see into it, even if the space wasn't open, because we were just artists working there. It wasn't particularly a like run gallery that had hours, so that the drive-by gallery, again, yeah. that anybody could see and interact with the art. And there were performances and poetry readings and various kind of shows where we had openings, and the famous puzzle show began there. Uh-huh. So, what he called his billboards was public Cisco announcements, like the PSA. It was his way of putting out a PSA.
Yeah.
But instead of being a public service announcement, it was a public Cisco announcement. So maybe yes. people didn't know that he called them that.
Yeah.
I think for him, the accessibility was a piece that you didn't have to own, they didn't have to pay any money to access a relationship with art.
Yes. And then just real briefly, the puzzle pieces that people did, explain that a little bit.
So the puzzle show began, I think, in the early 2000s. And it was a collaboration between my father, David Sisk, and my brother, Jeb Sisk, as well as Titus Woods. And they began this idea of like, what if we made a lot of, art galleries will have these shows where everybody sort of gets a box or a certain piece of some material that then they can create art with. So it's kind of a theme. And this was a variation on that theme where the artists that put on the show would make these puzzles and people would get pieces of the puzzle to paint, but not know where that piece would go or how it would come together, what the puzzle would be. And it became a really popular community art event and also really accessible to children. We had, people from 3 years old to 80 years old making art, and that it was really a community event that also supported young artists. They would put back funds from the auctions of the pieces that they would auction off the pieces, and people would go home with their children's art or maybe somebody else's art, or maybe a more popular artist in town would have done a piece, and so there would garner some funds for a scholarship for young artists in Chico as well.
So. Yes, he was definitely a community-minded person. As we're working, as Pam and Bray and myself are working for this art show that is going to be at Monca, we're thinking about those things, sort of an area of things about his activism in the community and some of the other things he did. He did altars, is that right?
Yeah, he called them altered altars. And part of what he began to do over the years is he would take pieces of his art from years before and he would sort of reimagine them and almost like a collage, take pieces of different parts of art he had made over the years and then reimagine these altars that sat on the wall, often having like an area where you could set special objects or a candle, but also a mirror, which I think is interesting. The altar that is a mirror to remind us that we're always on the altar as well. And yet they were eclectic and unique, and this idea that like an altar can be anywhere and can be made out of anything. I think this altered altar, I don't know exactly what that meant to him,
yes.
but that it was, he was always altering his own work to reimagine the sacred.
Yes, it was true. And just being around him, it would always kind of sneak out of him wherever he was, you know, just as a friend, he always had, just great insight. And then he would put it down as art. And many of us do have pieces of his art, which is what this art collective of his work is about. And Pam, can you say a little bit more about the plans there at the museum?
Okay, well, the show, which is entitled Cisco Lives, a Collector Show, will be at MACA from April 14th to June 12th. And we're getting a really good response. Anyone that has a Cisco piece that would like to contribute or have it considered can send it to ciscocollective@gmail.com. And that's ciscocollective@gmail.com with a rough idea of the size and a photograph. The committee that we formed will be looking at all the submissions, and by March the 1st, we'll have it kind of narrowed down to what is going to be in the show. I think that's going to be very difficult because what I've been seeing is just some fabulous Cisco pieces. I just can't imagine any Cisco piece that we wouldn't want to have in the show. And I just wanted to add that one thing about David that was so unique, he was a visual artist, but he's a verbal artist. And so his words are just amazing that he puts together his phrases and his thoughts. And that will also be featured within this show. I mean, there's not any artist I know that can match the verbal with the visual as well as David Sis did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's so wonderful to have Bray and Beth, his wife, and Jeb involved because they heard him all the time. Fabulous. And they can remind us and, you know, let us kind of experience him a little bit.
For sure.
You're listening to an interview with Pam Figge and Bray Sisk, talking about an art show that will be at MACA in April, and it will feature Cisco art. Stay tuned. We'll talk more about David Sisk and his art coming up. Listening to KZFR 90.1 FM. My name's Bobby Tryon. This is North State Give and Take, and we're going to get back to an interview with Pam Figge from the MACA Museum here in Chico and Bray Sisk, daughter of Cisco, David Sisk, talking about an art show coming up in April. You know, one thing I wanted to ask you, Bray, just briefly, just because I don't think people knew this, he lived in Chico all of his life.
Yeah, the Sisk family has been in Chico for a long time, and my father spent most of his life here. He did live briefly outside of Chico he was in Texas, and he lived in Sweden for a while, and he had some adventures. He lived in LA, but it was brief if you consider the span of his life, and so he really was a hometown boy, having seen Chico go through so much change in his lifetime. From a very rural place to a much more burgeoning small city of the North State, with the university growing, and it, you know, it was I think it was something for him to stay here, even though he had a bigger than life kind of persona that was maybe could have been in some big city like New York or Amsterdam,
sure.
But he chose to continue to live here, and he loved the land and the natural world here. Yeah, as well as the community. He fought hard through his art to support the causes that would protect our land and our environment and the social fabric of our community.
Mm-hmm. Nicely said, Bray. I remember one time he had a thing called chimp art, wasn't it?
Yes.
And I remember he says, okay, we're going to get up at 5 a.m. And we got up and we put little wooden sculptures on all the corners of downtown Chico before in the dark of the morning.
Yeah.
And it was so great. And we tacked them down. But you know what? The city came and before, I don't know, 9 a.m, they taken them all down.
Yeah.
No, right.
Not to be chimp art, not to be confused with gorilla art. No. My father was always about these like, sort of like puns and sort of the irony of yes. what it is to be, you know, professional as opposed to professional, like that we're always sort of practicing being radical. And his chimp art was like, well, we won't do anything too radical, but we'll right. put art out there,
right.
you know,
right.
without permission yeah. and just to like wake people up. Yeah.
And it was always so good so that you couldn't really diss on it, even if it was put up at the wrong time or the wrong place. It always was cool, you know, that was the way his was.
I think it sort of speaks to his sense of humor, really.
Yes.
That he always had a whimsical and humorous and playful side, which I think helped people open up to his messages and yes. to his sort of irreverent or radical ways. Yeah, and it's a good reminder to keep yep. to keep our humor alongside yeah. our messages and the way that we interact with the world.
Yeah, and the messages were actually, when you'll see them written, you know, they'll be at the museum if you don't know them. They really were all very poignant. Not all, of course, but, you know, one of his ones we all love so much is "We all have a bucket of worms." And, you know, sometimes you end up saying that, you know, it just fits. It
yeah.
just fits.
Well, yeah. that's such a good reminder when we get into whatever, what is jealousy or some like woe of our own, like whatever's difficult in life. And he would often say that just within the family, like, well, just to remind us that we all have our own bucket, like
yeah.
that other person over there might be looking like they're doing so well, but we don't know what they struggle with in their private life or, exactly. or it could be worse what we're going through. And we can remind ourselves that other people have buckets yeah. of worms that maybe we wouldn't want to carry, and we have to just carry our own and yeah. deal with what we have in life, our lot, our karma, if you will.
Yep, right. And what a universal message. But he did it in such a kind of a cute, funny way with the guy carrying the bucket full of worms.
Right. like to remind ourselves to laugh at that too, right? Not just be like, oh, I have my bucket of worms and it's so
yeah,
serious.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was sure. so good like that. So good. So back to you, Pam. Let's just kind of wrap up again. When is it the submissions for the collection and, you know, what that will look like? Because we're still out there. We've got this month. We're trying to get the submissions in by the 1st of March, at which time we'll kind of look them over. And, you know, they have to be hung beautifully in the museum, all of those things. So
yes.
and then we'll figure that out in March. And it's just a loan. We're just putting them up for everyone to see, and we will take very good care of them. And wrap that up for me a little bit, Pam.
Just a reminder that the show will run from April 14th to June 12th. If you're going to submit some Cisco piece, please do it before March 1st to ciscocollective.com. And we're just looking forward to a huge amount of fans and maybe yes. people that were not familiar with David's work.
Right.
Coming out to the museum and enjoying just an amazing, fun, unique show, which exactly. is David Sisk.
Yep.
AKA yeah. Cisco.
Yes. And there's a reception or there's an opening night?
Opening night will be Friday, April 15th. And it should be 5:30, probably till 9. I'm not sure about
okay.
the.
Okay. And there'll be something out there in the community to
yes.
remind everyone about it. And
that's correct.
You know, bring your friends. Like Pam says, we've run into a few people that didn't know Cisco's art. So it's such wonderful art that bring kids. That's what I always say, because oh. that's the way he was. He appealed to everyone, and they could get it, and they could start a conversation. And that was what he was about.
He especially loved to invoke the imagination of the child, and through art and through discussion about life. So for sure, bring your kids. And also just want to remind people that we are continuing with legacy projects in my father's name, and so wanting to continue to support young artists in our community. So we will have some t-shirts of his and maybe postcards and other things, small things that people can have to purchase to help support the legacy fund during the show and the reception.
Yeah, and a little bit about that. Just one other thing, pins and hats and t-shirts, are those things that we're, people could send those to? No, it just doesn't have to be a large piece of art, or we're looking for anything.
Absolutely. We've already had people submit some pins, posters. Yeah. He was amazing in the materials and just the amazing
diversity.
Yes.
The diversity Absolutely. Of his type of art and what he did.
Yes. Even someone has a calendar that David did.
Yeah.
That each month has a piece that he has painted or drawn, and a famous Cisco phrase.
Oh, so, I can't wait to see that.
Yeah. It's been fun to see some of the submissions and pieces that I never have seen. In fact.
Yes.
And be like, oh wow, that was something he did. So it's going to be exciting to see all of the pieces that come through.
To highlight how much he did for nonprofits, I think Bray was mentioning, you know, the environmental community, and there wasn't a fundraiser in town that didn't have David submitting something as a prize or some kind of gift that was associated with an event that a nonprofit was doing in our town.
Right.
Very generous with his work.
Right. Or a sign. You can still see one going up to the museum if you're going up the Canyon Road. I mean, you can just see signs in places now that you know David did.
Absolutely.
Yep. Well, I'm happy for your family, Bray, that this is going to be a nice thing for them too, to see some other art that you hadn't seen.
Yeah, it's a good opportunity also for some of our family from out of town to come, because of travel during the pandemic. It hasn't been super easy to gather everyone, but what a great opportunity for them to come and honor him and his art. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to that as well.
I'm also really glad that it's going to kind of highlight Maunka in a way. If you have not gone there or been to the museum, this is really an opportunity, and the space is lovely.
And, beautiful.
It's beautiful.
We think so. And as a person that's been involved with historic preservation, we saved a very historic building by having some reuse for it. It's the perfect reuse. So come see the wonderful exhibit and the beautiful building it's in.
Great. Thank you, Pam, and thank you, Bray.
Thank you, Bobby.
And I'll see you around.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been an interview with Pam Figge from the Maunka Museum here in Chico, and Bray Sisk, the daughter of David Sisk. And we've been talking about a collector's art show that will be at the museum starting on April 14th, and also putting a call out there for any art that any of you have that Cisco did. And we are asking people to send a picture of that art to ciscocollective@gmail.com. I did want to remind everyone that the Maunka Museum is a great place to go anytime. And just this week, they've opened a quilt exhibit, which I did go to this weekend, and it is pretty amazing. So Maunka Museum, someplace in this town worth going to. You've been listening to North State Give and Take on KZFR 90.1 FM. If you'd like to hear any of my other interviews, go to kzfr.org, go to programs, go to Tuesdays, and go down to North State Give and Take, and they're all there. I'd like to interview nonprofits and people here in the area that are doing interesting things. If you're interested in being on the show, please call me, Bobby Tryon, at 530-520-1593. Thanks for listening to KZFR and North State Give and Take, and stay tuned for Ginger and Radioactive, and stay at 90.1 FM.